what's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move, don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Nadia Sami is in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, even though we live in societies that are, in most cases, patriarchal by nature, we cannot overlook the role and influence that women play in these societies. Most agricultural civilizations downplayed the status and potential of women, at least according to modern Western standards, and to the implicit standards of hunting and gathering societies. Agricultural civilizations were mainly patriarchal. That is, they were run by men and based on the assumption that men directed political, economic, and cultural life. But that assumption has changed over time. The nature and role of women has been transformed by evolving economic and social trends that recognize that the women contribute to the development of our societies in ways that are sometimes not appreciated or underappreciated, or even at all ever recognized. In other cases, the argument has been that women indeed have as much influence as men, and they receive due credit for it. So today on the show, we talk about that. Based on personal experience, who has had more impact in your life, your mother or father? And on a societal level, who affects policy or plays a bigger role in things like education, socioeconomic development, etc. Let's talk. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
In terms of education, I will assure you that women play a bigger role than men in terms of upbringing children for the future. My father doesn't know my class until he has to go and ask my mother, now this boy is in which class. In terms of policy making, because of the customer and the traditional background, men dominate.
Generally, the African belief is men are powerful in making decisions. But as time goes on, we are seeing that a lot of work actually is done by a woman.
I'm called Charity Jambala Suba in Juba, South Sudan, a Southern Sudanese lady. According to me, it's a woman. I'm saying this because women are the key factor in the family, actually raising up kids in the family. She does everything possible to make the kids go to school, to eat, or take them for medication. But a man, if he decides to drink or get another woman outside the family, if you're not a strong woman in the house, you leave your kids to suffer and die yourself too. So I prefer woman is better. If a woman does something good, they will not consider it. They will say, oh, you're just a woman. You're a male woman. You have nothing to say in this society.
My mom had to take care of me by maybe preparing if it was the food which my father had given her. So it's hard anyway to say. But in my own example, maybe I would rather say that my mom took a center stage because she was the one maybe saying, well, you know, you have to be strong. You know, you need this. Maybe when I come back to school, more especially when I was young, she would say, sit down here. This is 1 + 1 = 2. Unlike my father, who was just very busy by that time, maybe searching for money that I should go to school.
you all for joining us today on Upfront. We love having you on board. Let's look at this as one of those battle of the sexes discussions. Who is stronger, men or women? Who has a stronger impact on the family in terms of upbringing? Who affects policy in our society? Who plays the real nurturing role? Who plays a bigger role in your education, your mother or your father? And can we really trace the source of this dichotomy? Is it plausible that in this day and age we have such a conversation? Have we had a complete about turn in the roles, the traditional roles that we saw before? I mean, we don't live in the 1800s anymore. It goes without saying that the role of women is as important, or if not more important, in society, in the home, in the business, etc., in the family.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. This is Jackson Vunganyi. Question we want to ask is, what is the importance of education in how we understand gender roles? And I have Salem Solomon in the studio. And Salem, thank you for joining us. So Salem, do you feel that as a young woman, there are certain roles that you cannot perform, certain things that you can't do because they're not traditionally assigned to you?
You still have remnants of old traditional ways of how, you know, how these gender roles are allocated to men or women. For instance, you know, the woman takes care of, because of the maternal responsibility that comes with it, women takes care of the children,
right,
cooks for the family, and on top of, let's say, having a full-time job or being sometimes a breadwinner.
So you're saying that even though society has made progress in certain ways, there are certain things that women do that many men feel like there are certain things that they cannot do in the home because women are supposed to do them.
Yeah.
Cooking, looking after the kids.
And the thing is, you know, it's not because men automatically think that. Mm. It's because maybe growing up, maybe that's not what they grew up with. You know, it's usually the mother cooking. And so it's generational. And so unless, of course, educationally, societally, people are awakened to understand these gender roles do not specifically mean that just because you happen to be a woman or you happen to be a man, you're assigned to do specific things, you know, house chores or errands. Just because you have a certain, you are born in a certain body doesn't mean that, you know,
you're
aligned to that.
Right.
I'm just talking about
the West. There's an understanding now, or there's some societies where men are able to perform those roles that were traditionally for women, but there are also other societies that are kind of stuck in time.
That's true. But the West and most modern cities, urban cities, even in African countries, are more forward-thinking in these kind of things. You know, maybe the men are, you know, over the fact that, oh, you know, your manhood gets questioned if you go to the kitchen kind of thinking. And so, I mean, there is progress in these forward-thinking societies, but that's not universal in most, it's safe to say without exaggeration that most African countries still lag
behind. A very traditional
sense in terms
of what men or women can
still
do.
Yeah.
What about you as a young Eritrean woman? Are there things, are there duties that you cannot perform based on your gender as a woman?
Well, I grew up in a very modern Western family. My father was a medical doctor and my mom is a nurse. They were of the notion that, you know, I would be treated equally with my brothers. I had three brothers. I was the only girl at home. So my dad made it his. He had a concerted effort.
Shout out to the Fekadu family for very progressive and forward thinking, by the way.
Yeah,
are they the Solomons or the Fekadus?
The Solomons.
The Solomons. I had to give a shout out to an African family that is very progressive on that level.
And there's plenty of, like many, especially in urban cities in South Africa and Kenya, in Addis Ababa, in Ethiopia, in Asmara, some of the Horn of African countries, but Western actually countries as well. You see, even if not entirely modern, you see women and girls being encouraged to be involved in discussions that are political, that also, you know, that they opine about things that they have at stake. Nobody's taking over to speak for them. So when you see these encouraging things, it's very nice to see. But it's not...
So because of the way you were raised, there was not a point, there has never been a point where you felt there are things that you can't do.
I didn't feel that. I didn't grow up in that environment. Okay, so you were education was to do... the main thing.
Okay,
education
was going to be my next point.
But my
point.
Mom still you know, wanted to take care of, you know, kitchen. She went to the kitchen.
She was essentially a traditional
woman. I don't understand. It's not because of the gender.
Did she encourage you?
To do that? I mean, of course. I mean, it's
do
like
you cook at your house?
I try to cook in my home when I can. Mm. I've been very spoiled in that manner. But I try to cook for a small group of people.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is, I think the bottom line is being educationally aware of what you are capable of doing.
Right.
Is what you are capable of doing is very important.
Is this a conversation that you ever had with your mom where she told you, listen, I know you're educated, you went to school, you have a master's degree, you have a very successful career, but then you should do this, perform these duties too, 1, 2, 3, 4, that duties that she used to perform as a woman?
No, my mom was a full-time working nurse herself. Mm. And so she was a role model for me, how to be a mother of four and still... perform very well at home and, of course, take care of, save lives at work.
Absolutely.
So that was the litmus test is very high in my home because my dad was a full-time doctor and my mom is like that. So that in itself, not having a conversation, okay, but by doing. Okay, ladies, now let's get
information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Historically, the patriarchal family structure that we can say still exists in many African societies was based on men's control of all property, starting with the land itself. I mean, marriage was based on property, relationships, and it was assumed that marriage and therefore subordination to men was the normal condition for many of the women. However, given this background, we know that women were still very much the major players, or at least the biggest players in how a family was run, which is the smallest unit of a society. So if somebody is in control, is in charge of how a family is run, that says something about society and how they direct, how important their impact or their role is in society. So as we continue this conversation about traditional gender roles and whether they are socially constructed or not, I called my friend Marino Young, a writer based in Sweden, and we had an interesting conversation about her experience growing up in Rwanda as a young girl and the roles that were assigned to her by her mother.
Gender roles. Mm. Wow. I was raised by a traditional mother, African mother from Rwanda. And, you know, she did tell me what girls should do and what boys should do and what things that I'm not supposed to do. If she caught me climbing a tree, I was told off for climbing a tree while being a girl.
So girls don't do that.
Yes. And we all learned how to cook, for example.
So there was a formal training in some aspects of what they considered female roles?
I guess it was more survival roles.
Survival roles.
My brothers and I were all in the kitchen at a certain point, and we're taught how to cook and to clean, and, you know, the kind of things that any adult should know and take care of by themselves.
Not very many traditional African families have boys in the kitchen learning how to cook.
Well, we did. My brothers hated going back to school smelling like onions on their fingers because they had been cooking for 2 months.
but that was a decision made by your mom or by your father?
Yes, my mom. Okay. My mom. My mom was really the manager of the house in every aspect I could think of. She was the one who knew where everything was and what was needed and where to get it and when and everything.
But it's ironic that, you know, for a woman who was on one side chastising you for engaging in what she considered manly activities like tree climbing, she was in training your brothers to go to the kitchen to cook.
Yes, and I guess it was, I don't know how to explain it, probably to protect me, because she probably thought that if a boy falls and breaks his bones, he probably doesn't hurt as much as a girl. I don't know how
You thought she went all scientific on you like that?
I think at that time I didn't think I was being protected. I thought I was just being, you know, disrespected. What do you mean I can't climb a tree?
Wait, but you think your mother actually had the only reason she stopped you from engaging in those activities was for fear that women are more prone to breaking and stuff like that?
She probably wanted to protect me from probably falling and breaking myself. But also in a broader context, you know, falling and breaking myself, hanging out with boys, I guess.
Hanging out with
all thinking that
she was protecting you from the opposite sex.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. I shouldn't be so familiar with boys and think they're my friends. Mm. And yet, you know, boys are bad.
So, like I said earlier, you know, in many African homes, cooking is not really considered a manly, so to say, duty. But your mother did train you and your brothers how to put it down in the kitchen.
And this is the surprising thing, that in the evenings when after dinner we all gather in the kitchen and do the dishwashing. And sometimes when my brothers were not at home and it was just me, my dad would help me because my mom had cooked. Mm. So my dad would help me wash the dishes. And I didn't realize it was strange until I told my friends about it, that I was washing the dishes with my dad, and they were like, what?
So your sisters-in-law have your mother to thank for the husbands who can cook right now. I'm quite sure they're very happy about that.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
I am aware of the
fact that that is quite the exception. When you go with your family to visit people, your brothers will sit in the living room and chat with visitors. There are such things as traditional gender duties, I guess, or I don't know, classifications, things like that. But I think it makes a society richer to go beyond that, to teach a person to be able to do everything and find what they're really good at and do it well.
Now, there are people who say that traditional, what we know as traditional gender roles, as social constructs. They were socially constructed to keep women powerless. The female gender was on the receiving end.
You could see it that way. Mm. And in some cases, there are things that are quite strange. You know, did you know that in Rwanda, women were not allowed to eat goat meat? And the official story is that they will grow a beard if they eat goat meat.
Wow.
But we all know that it's delicious. At least the people who eat meat know that it's delicious and they just didn't want to share.
When did you overcome that fear to the point of testing it and realizing that your mothers or your grandmothers who never tested goat meat were actually being lied to the whole time? Who was the first courageous woman to?
I guess those grandmothers raised girls who could read a book and read a person and teach more than they learned themselves. Mm.
It was women who did not fear growing a beard, I guess.
Yes, I don't
courage
think
against
it was
the beard.
A man who said, let's share. It was a woman who said, why not?
And Rwanda is known to historically have very powerful women in roles of leadership. And up to now, Rwanda is mentioned as one of the countries that has the highest percentage of women in leadership
in
positions.
In parliament,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So it has something
Sweden,
to say that...
Ironically.
So let's go back a little bit to your mother. Did she ever train you in any other traditional quote-unquote roles?
Well, let's say, for example, we had this large compound that needed to be, we had to sweep every Saturday. None of my brothers ever took up a broom and did that. And when she came home on a Saturday afternoon and found the compound unswept, it was on me.
So they could
only
cook.
Only on me.
They could cook, but not sweeping. There was
the
a line there.
The was me only. No, because, well, I didn't have any sisters, right. Only brothers. And that was my job, never theirs.
Wait, because
I never even questioned it, actually. It was like, sweeping is a girl's job.
But do you feel that you need a man in your life to be able to fulfill certain duties in terms of providing for the family? Because that is what fathers were for, to provide for the family.
They work and bring the money, and then the mom decides how to spend it.
Right.
Is that it? Well, honestly, no. I occasionally need somebody to zip me up when I'm wearing my, you know.
And that's how many more you need the other person.
But honestly, if I can find a job and work and earn money to pay my bills, I don't see why somebody else should do that for me. If I meet somebody who's willing to do that, I probably won't tell them go away, but I'll explain to them how I feel about it. I don't think somebody has a job to take care of me financially. I don't think so.
This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Now, Nadia, let me ask you, as a young lady growing up in the city, you grew up in Cape Town, were you brought up with the understanding that you will play a different role in society from your male counterparts or your brothers, if you have any? I just want to get to the source of where this socialization starts.
Well, Jackson, I can't say I was brought up in a setting where the tradition was that the boys in the household had better opportunities. I grew up with two brothers. I'm the youngest and the only daughter. And I've actually studied more and gone out there and adventured probably more than my two brothers. So I can't say I lived in that traditional type of, or grew up in that traditional sense. And if I look at a lot of my peers, a lot of my friends growing up in the city, it's been kind of similar. I think that we're seeing much less, and particularly in the city, you see much less of those kind of traditional roles enforced upon people. And I mean, there just is no place for it in modern day society. There is no place for it, really.
The mother is the one who stays for quite a long time with the kids. So whatever they do is as a result of the mother, because they spend much of the time with them. Not only that, you look at in a family setup whereby you are tending to divorce, in most cases, the children would prefer staying with their mom other than staying with you. Why is it like that? It is because they spend much of their time with their mom other than you.
Women are stronger because the woman, you know, they are responsible for bringing up the upbringing of children in a family. They are responsible for caring for a man.
In case you've just joined us, welcome to it, and thank you for being with us today. Like we do each Wednesday, you know how we do. This is Upfront. I'm Nadia Sami, coming to you from South Africa, and Jackson Vungani is doing his thing in Washington, D.C. This is the part of the show where you get to express your opinion and talk about the topic we're discussing today. Here's what you had to say.
I'm quite sure in most of our African tradition and context is that female is been seen as a helper, and then she's been seen as an assistant. So she cannot play a bigger role. In one of my work, one time I observed customary courts. There was a case of property ownership. A woman have her husband, died. So she want to own the properties of the deceased. And one of the principal traditional judge asked the woman a question. And he said, hey, the world is now going anti-clockwise. How comes a property want to own a property? This one defines to you very clear that a woman is not really stronger in our African society, in African context. How much she contributed with the very effective developmental ideas, but yet she's seen as a second class. This one.
If according to African traditional society, men, men have more influential factors in the society than women. Because if we go to the society, they consider men better than women.
They want to be equal with men. This is something which is not practical, even before God. You can never be equal before men, but your contribution should be appreciated. Women should be involved in policy making, at home, in the government, wherever they are able to contribute, let them be allowed to bring in their views. Notwithstanding some of those small issues I've mentioned, like making a woman to think that he is above men or he should share equal power with men, but their contribution should be accepted.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. We continue to discuss the different roles or similar roles, depending on what perspective you're coming from, and the different or similar roles that women and men play in society. We're looking at this from the basis of many patriarchal societies around the world, and specifically here in Africa. Historians write that in many of these traditionally patriarchal societies, women have sort of internalized the culture of patriarchy, accepting their role, so to say, that it was the woman's job to obey and serve men.
If we looked closely, we find that women did play very important roles, like raising the family, and on an individual level, they pretty much determine what type of person you grow up to be. Nima Rutaisire is a graduate student here at the George Washington University. She's originally from East Africa.
The actual role that they play, and then there's what people think their role ought to be. So for example, the role of women, as you know, traditionally has been, you know, you have the kids and you raise the kids and your husband brings on the bacon, right?
Right.
But for the most part, these women knew their kids more than the men, because the men have been to work and the whole day, and they know how the different personalities of their kids, who needs what kind of help, et cetera, et cetera. So they're the actual heads of the family, but they just don't have the title.
Women are the actual heads of the family.
Yeah, they just don't have that title. Or right. At least that's how it has been. But I like to think that now, in our generation, it's sort of very clear, you know. It's a little blurry, because both moms and dads are out in the office working. Yes, it's still a patriarchal society based on...
But if they're equal roles, then why is it called a patriarchal society anyway?
Because the role of the woman in the house has never been really respected, has never really been seen as, you know, the engine that is keeping this machine going, right? But that's the actuality of it, right? If you were sick, your mom knew it before your dad knew it, right?
Right.
If you had a problem at school, your mom knew it before your dad did. The mother would know, oh, this kid needs to have extra help at school because they're not very good at math than the other kid. Things like that. And I feel like those are the important roles. For me, as far as bringing kids is concerned. So if a head of something is someone who plays a critical role in that organization, I would think that the mom is. But the way society is organized, the dad is, because of the fact that he's just a guy and he goes to work. But then that's brought to question now that they're both working, so who is the head of the family?
In agricultural societies, who was the person tilling the land?
Oh, it was the mom. The guys went and banked the bushes and they went to hunt, right? And then the moms went to dig and harvest and sometimes give birth doing it.
Now, there's some cases of where the father is actually both the breadwinner and also the person raising the family.
Exactly, and I agree. Because that's why I'm saying that we're in an interesting time now, because... If you talk about, oh, yeah, we're a patriarchal society, yes, that's how it has been. But now it's different, you know. So we're in an interesting time.
Times we live in have equalized the playing field, so to say.
Yeah, in some families, I believe.
But has it equalized the perception, though?
I don't think so. But, you know, it's very hard to change people's minds and change people's, how do you call it?
Long-held beliefs.
Yes.
And on that note, I want to thank all our listeners and all our contributors to the show today. We'll catch you again next week right here on The Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @UpfrontAfrica. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com. Until next time, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.